Well, good morning, everybody. Glad you're here. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here today. Father, when we are all gathered together, whoever and however we come together because we want to meet with you. We want to not only worship you, but learn from you. We want to have that personal touch by you where we know that you've spoken to our heart. Help us to be open to what you have us to receive today. I pray that you will not only carry, but that you will preach this message and accomplish your work, your goal through it. And finally, Father, but not least, is that I pray that you truly will be glorified, that our hearts will praise you for the ways that you touch our heart, the things that you reveal to us through this message today. Bless the fellowship even more. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever had a problem where you're circling around it, can't figure out how to get it resolved? You know, we can identify, can't we? I've got this problem, it's dragging me down, I'm going around and around and around, can't figure it out. And we almost become fixated on the problem instead of, like I shared with the kids, asking God how to deal with the problem. He's our Heavenly Father, He's there to help us. And as believers in Christ, we should be able to look to God our Father and say, I can't get past this. I can't get past it at all. And it's dragging me down. So would you please give me the answer on how to take care of this? What I put up on the board, have you ever circled around a problem, a situation, or sin in your life over and over again? Sometimes when we're in that situation, we start losing hope. We start getting discouraged. And our faith can even wane a little bit. And we tend to think that God doesn't care. And it just kind of spirals down. But God always has the answer. He always has the solution. He always has the direction that will get us out of that spinning around, walking around, and being fixated on the problem that we're dealing with. We can ask God to get us past that problem, that sin in our life, or how we move forward from where we were. I mean, there are people that I know that have past history that they feel so ashamed about in their past that they figure God can't forgive them. We find that in the scripture, that people will think I'm too much of a sinner that I can move forward or go past all my mistakes. But God isn't like that. God loves us and He has a future for us. He has something for all of us, and we can let go of the past, forgetting that which is behind and pressing on toward the high calling of Jesus Christ in our life, right? So God doesn't want us stuck in one spot. Have you ever felt that way in your Christian walk where you've got to a place in your walk where it doesn't seem like I'm growing, doesn't seem like I'm progressing, doesn't seem like anything's evolving spiritually in my life, that I'm just kind of where I've been for the past X amount of years and I'm just kind of stuck here? God doesn't want us to be stuck. He wants us to continually grow and pursue the goals that He sets for us. Satan wants us to get stuck in the mud. He wants us to become stagnant, still, discouraged, depressed, and overwhelmed by circumstances in our life that we can't seem to overcome or resolve. But God wants us to progress in our walk with Him. The Israelites had a problem like that. The Israelites, they were delivered out of bondage in Egypt. They saw the Red Sea part. God walked them across dry land into the wilderness before they went into the land of Canaan, okay? But what happened? They spent 40 years wandering in the desert like this. I mean, I'm saying it was just haphazard wandering. If you look at the historical map of what they did, instead of beelining across, making from point A to point B, God had them wander. Why? Because of their lack of faith, their lack of trust in God, their lack of confidence in God. And even they came to a place where they were complaining to God about, you know, we're eating manna all the time. We don't have a variety of food. And are we going to stay in this, what they might say, a God-forsaken place in this desert? And they began to rebel against God because of their discontentment. And what they did was they forgot what God had done for them, delivered them out of bondage. And He's delivered us from the bondage of sin. He's delivered us from the power of sin in our life, because God has given us the power to have victory over sin or problems or circumstance, whatever. We can accomplish all things through Christ, and we can praise Him for that. the Israelites, obviously, they had got stuck wandering in the wilderness. They began murmuring against God, complaining against him. They were ungrateful. And I think that's one of the things that we should recognize as a red flag in our walk with God. If we're going around in circles spiritually in our walk with God, or something's in front of us that just seems to hold us back from moving forward in our walk with God, that we can start complaining and murmuring against God. We start shifting the blame toward God instead of looking at the reality of the situation and saying, my God is great. My God can take care of the circumstances I am in, even though I don't know how I'm going to resolve it. Even though I've run the thought through my mind 1,000 times on different scenarios on how to resolve it and not find the answer, God has the answer for us. And so we can trust our Heavenly Father to help us through the challenges that we face all the time. But the reality is that the Israelites were in rebellion against God. God was leading them to go into the promised land, but they were afraid. And we know the story even later. They heard of the giants that were in the land and the fortified cities, and they heard about all the challenges that were to face them if they went into the promised land. They did not trust God to take care of those things for them. So they became a people that were rebellious against God. They weren't experiencing the things that God wanted them to experience in their relationship with him. And they started complaining and looking to God and blaming God. And guess what? God wasn't happy with that. God said, I'm not happy with you for this. I've done great things. What great things has God done for you and I? You know he saved our soul, the greatest of all things. Saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus, right? But what other things in our own personal life has God done for us? And I think if we remember those things, it helps us to get past the thing that we can't seem to get resolved. We look at the problem, but if we take a step back in our relationship with Jesus, our walk with Jesus, and say, here's a marker in my life where I saw you take care of this problem, and at that time I didn't know how that was going to be taken care of. I've seen you work here and here, miracles. I've seen you do wondrous things in my life. So take note of the things that God has done in your life for you so it can help fortify you and encourage you to say, God took care of all this stuff in my life. He can certainly take care of this. The Israelites saw God lead them out of Egypt through the Red Sea to the wilderness right there. They saw the power of God in his provision, dry ground that they walked on. They saw the enemies destroyed. But when they got into the desert, they started complaining. Why would you complain when God can do anything? Against all physics, God can take care of us. And so that's what God wants. God wants us to know that he can take care of anything, that's especially those things that are far out of our control. And that's the time that we can trust him even more. Look at Deuteronomy 2, 1 through 3, chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Then he turned and journeyed into the wilderness of the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spoke to me, and we skirted Mount Seir for many days. Around and around the problem, right? All right? And the Lord spoke to me, saying, you have skirted this mountain long enough. Turn northward. See, God, if you're listening to God, we're going around and around the problem that we're facing. If we're willing to listen to God, God's saying, it's enough. Stop fretting about this. Listen to me. This is what you need to do. And we look to God, and he reveals to us the direction and the answer that we need to deal with the problem. It's like going northward. So you know what I meant, right? That word will stick with you today. So as we circle around the problems, we know that God can intervene, and God can say, "Move on." There are people in our life, and people that are in our lives that say, "I don't want to move on. I'm just fixated and focused on this problem." And therefore, they don't get the blessing of moving on in Christ. So the question is, do you have something in your life that you are circling? Maybe it's time to move on and turn northward. Hey, I said it, and turn northward. right? So if you've bogged down to something that you're circling around that you can't get past, ask God, what do you want me to do to help me to move past this, to move on? And that moving on is meaning moving on in your will, moving on in your walk, in my walk with you. I want to walk as you would have me walk. I want to reach the goal that you've set before me. I want to be in your will and discover your plans and your purpose that you have for me. Some might say, I don't want to be stuck in this habitual sin. You might get discouraged and say, I am stuck in this sin. And you almost are convinced by saying stuck that there's no hope to be set free from it. But God's given us power over sin. Or I don't want to be circling this mountain or this mountain of a problem anymore. We can look at a mountain, we can look at a difficulty, we can look at an impossible task that we can't take care of, and in talking to God and listening to God, we can hear the peace of God giving us understanding on what to do. And in the focus of the mountain, we can have the peace of God that says, I will take care of this. That's a blessing. We seek the face of God, we listen to him, go northward, or he says, I'll take care of the mountain, don't you worry about it. And we can praise him even before it's accomplished. We don't just have to praise him after it's accomplished, but even before it's accomplished, because the Spirit of God, if we're listening, will tell us, I got this, or take care of it. I know I've experienced that, and I believe you have too. But some might say, how do I move forward? How do I move from this spot to the next spot? How do I move to the promised land or the promised things that you have in store for me? Because God created us for good works. Before the foundation of the world, he already established that he had specific things for you and I, specific good works that bring honor and glory to God that he wants to do in and through us. So how do we move forward to discover those things? What is the territory that God has for your life? That's interesting, isn't it? What is the territory? God will give you your zone, your area, your purpose, your territory for his purposes that he's predetermined before the foundations of the world, but we don't discover them unless we're willing to follow him, and especially if we're of a determination that says, I'm not going to get stuck in this place. I'm going to look to God to move forward and be the person God wants me to be. And that's an ongoing thing. God continually molds us and shapes us into the person he wants us to be and uses us accordingly as we follow him. Many times God has already given us the answer through friends, family, the Bible, a message, or circumstances, or just that still small voice in our heart. You understand where I'm coming from with that? That you've got the problem, you're circled around it, you're fixed on it, but you call out to God, or God says to you, that's enough. And God begins to reveal to you the answer. Family can give you the answer. Friends can give you the answer. God's word can give you the answer. A message or circumstances in your life can help direct us to the answer that God wants us to have, right? Especially when the Holy Spirit confirms in our heart, this is what I'm showing you. This is what I want for you. This is the path I'm leading you toward. So there are those that won't trust him and take those steps forward. You know why? I think some people stay where they are as no matter what the circumstance is, because it seems more comfortable in an oxymoron way. It seems more comfortable to be in this chaos than to take the faith to step forward into what God has for me. Does that make sense? Sometimes we're too afraid of what God has for us, so I'd rather take the circling around and being stuck than pursuing what God has. In Numbers 13, 31, and 33, it says, but the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. There we saw giants, 9 feet tall people, you know, giants, right? We saw giants, the descendants of Anak, come from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. I mean, the perspective was the enemy is huge and we're so small and we can't conquer that. We can't have victory over that. That's how we look at the problems that are unresolvable, seemingly unresolvable in our life. We look at it and we allow it to get bigger and bigger and bigger to where we just feel defeated, like there's no way. But through Christ, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Our problems look like giants because we forget who God is and that he is the one who told us to enter into the promised land. Like last week, I pointed to David and Goliath. Goliath was a giant. David was about 14 years old. The Israelite army was afraid of Goliath. David said, I'm not afraid of him. I've torn wild beasts apart with my own hands because of the power of God. God can take care of that too. And so when we look at the past and we say, God is taking care of these giants in my past, God can take care of the giant that's in front of you today. When we let our lack of faith, logic, reason, or emotions control us and stop us or send us circling, sometimes we can talk ourselves out of following the step or will of God for our life. Sometimes our own logic, our own analyzing, all those things, when we're focused so much on the analyzing and the circumstance that we convince ourselves that we don't want to do it or that we can't. So we should not fall back to that resort, because what we're doing is we're saying, I don't trust you, God. We need to trust God with the impossible. We need to trust God with what he's leading us to do and know that we're not going to reason out for ourselves why we shouldn't, but reason rather in the power of God that enables us to do what he leads us to do. Amen? That's what David did. He didn't analyze it and break it down and say, there's no way, I'm 14, I'm a boy, and look at this guy. No. He said, God can take care of it. And he rationalized what God wanted him to. I've seen God do things great in my life before. He can do it here too. And that's how we're called to live. Perhaps we're dealing with grief or depression or addictions of any kind. It doesn't have to be drugs or whatever, but it can be any type of an addiction. It can be pornography, drugs, you name it. Just fill in the blank, whatever it is. So we might be dealing with grief and depression, addictions, or loneliness. But what if a friend suggests to you, here's the avenue that maybe you can go to a support group and talk it out? Some people are comfortable with that. I'm not, personally. But some people have a personality that they're okay with unveiling themselves in a group and talking, and it helps. And so there might be a directive that God is giving through a person or a friend that's trying to direct us a different way. Or maybe God is leading us into a Bible study fellowship group, but we choose not to go. You know, if you're dealing with, you're being lonely, you're lonely, well, here, stop focusing on being so lonely and do this. And you're find yourself not being lonely. We kind of have a tendency sometimes that we will withdraw into ourselves and not take the steps necessary to get us into the right place, the place that God wants us to be. And so we can be afraid of our own selves. We can be afraid of our own weaknesses. We can be afraid of the circumstance. But what's key is that we need to just simply listen to God. God said, I've got plans and purposes for you. I have a life for you that you can't imagine. And if you're allowing yourself to get stuck here around this situation, and you're not willing to listen to what I'm telling you, and you're not willing to apply that faith when I speak to you, then you're going to stay where you're at. But if we're willing to listen to God and take the faith to do what God says, knowing that he's able to conquer any challenge before us, then we can experience the victory that God has for us in our lives. Maybe you're having a problem with a negative person or ungodly person in your life. Maybe you know that in your own spirit that you're allowing yourself to be dragged down or led astray. Or maybe you're not listening to the Holy Spirit whisper. Maybe you're afraid to ask God. You know, sometimes we don't want to hear what God has to say. But if we're seeking God for truth and know that he loves us and we can rely on him and know that he only has our best interests, we should willingly go to him and say, help me, I know that you have an answer to this. And then follow him, even if what he leads us to do is bigger than who we are, because it's an opportunity for God to show us how big he is, right? And so we can't let sin or people or problems or even the devil make us feel like victims, right? Now, victims, by that I'm talking about being subject to a deception or fraud. We don't have to be the victims of a lie. We don't have to be a victim of, hey, you're stuck here, you can't get out of this, this is not, there's no hope for you in this situation. That's the victim situation. God doesn't want us to be in that situation. He wants us to know the freedom of Christ. He wants us to raise above the situation and not keep circling around it. We do not have to be victimized because we are conquerors through Christ. Do you believe we're conquerors in Christ? Have you experienced through Christ conquering difficult challenges?
Amen.
Amen. We can know the grace and the love and the power of God in our life, helping us to conquer the things that might be dragging us down or that are so impossible for us to overcome or to get through. Romans 8:31-39 says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Amen. Hey, if God is for us, who can be against us? There's no battle there. God is for us. How do we know if God is for us? Well, first of all, he's for us because he's God, our Father, and as believers in particular, we know that he has his eye on us. He loves us. He loves all people. But for us that have not rejected him and have turned our lives over to him, we are believers in Jesus Christ. God is for us. He's not against us. And that's a great confidence. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Amen. If he gave his own son, Jesus, to die for your sin and my sin, wouldn't he freely give us what we need in life to be the people he's called us to be in him? Absolutely. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Is it God who justifies? Who is he who condemns? Is it Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Nothing's going to separate us from God's love. We might be in the midst of the storm. We may not be able to see as clearly as we'd like to see, but nothing will separate us from God's love. And Satan will try to convince us, oh, God is mad at you. He hates you because these things keep happening. No, there's two things you can look at. One, we are either doing things that God's not happy with and he's trying to discipline us to get back on the right track. Or two, he's allowing us to go through trials so he can display his power to us as we live by faith in him. As it is written, for your sake, we are all killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. That's a weird thought, but here's the blessing in it. Another spiritual oxymoron. The more we're willing to die to ourselves and live for God, the greater and richer our life is in him. You understand? We're like sheep going to the slaughter. You're the good shepherd. We're your sheep. Whatever you choose to do in my life is what I want, which requires dying to myself and living for him. And that's why he says, for your sake, we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. We're willing to sacrifice whatever for the sake of being in the will of the Father. Verse 37, for in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We're not just conquerors, we're more than conquerors. We experience the fullness of God working on our behalf and in our relationship with Him and Him with us. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you ever echo the words, God doesn't love me anymore, it's a lie from hell. Because nothing can separate us from the love of God. We belong to Him. God doesn't abandon us, but He allows us to go through the challenges or the discipline to allow us to be the people that He wants us to be in Him. So we shouldn't keep on letting sin or problems, and I'm not saying that to put a guilt trip or anything negative. I'm just talking about the facts of our walk with God. We're not to let sin or problems keep us in the wilderness circling and not really being on track to what God wants us to do. Look what Paul said in Romans 6, 1 through 4, and then verses 10 through 14. What should we say? Should we keep on sinning so that God's gift of undeserved grace will show up even better? Get that? I'm going to sin a lot so God can show His grace and God will get the glory. How demented is that thinking? It's not what God wants, right? No, we should not. Another translation says, God forbid that we should do that. We're taking advantage of God. Our sin a lot for the sake of receiving God's grace, magnifying God's grace. No, that's the wrong way of thinking. No, we should not. If we are dead to sin, how can we go on sinning? Don't you know that all who share in Christ Jesus by being baptized also share in His death? When we die to ourselves, He gives us victory over death. He died for us, and He has victory over death. It's a spiritual application to our walk with Jesus. And we need to remember that when we die to ourselves, we gain victory in Him over things like sin that bring us down to destruction. When I say destruction, sin never produces good. But God always has a way to deliver us that we might know the fullness of God in Him. In verse 4 it says, when we were baptized, we died and were buried with Christ. We were baptized so we would live a new life as Christ was raised to life by the glory of God the Father. God wants us to live a new life. When Christ died, He died for sin once and for all, but now He is alive and He lives only for God. In the same way, you must think of yourselves as dead to the power of sin, but Christ Jesus has given you life. Or given life to you, and you live for God. You see the perspective change? I'm not going to live under the perspective that I am dominated by sin and have no hope of getting past that. But I'm going to live as God would have me to, knowing that He's given me new life and that I can live not only as a conqueror, but that we will be more than conquerors because we grow in knowledge and our relationship with God through it. So, but Christ Jesus has given life to you, and you live for God. Don't let sin rule your body. After all, your body is bound to die, so don't obey its desires, right? Or let any part of it become a slave of evil. Give yourselves to God as people who have been raised from death to life. Make every part of your body a slave that pleases God. You get what I'm saying? Every thought, every action, every tongue, thing spoken by our tongue, everything of who we are, bring it in subjection to God and obedience to Him. And let God use us in every way that brings Him glory. Don't let sin keep ruling your lives. You are ruled by God's undeserved grace and not by the law. This is not a condemning message. This is a message of hope. A message that says you have freedom and victory in Jesus. And it's up to us to grab hold of it. Sin can't control us anymore. It's your choice if we're continuing to sin. Instead, give yourselves to God. We all sin. We fall all the time. We have good days and bad days spiritually. But we can live victoriously through Christ over anything, as we die to ourselves and live for God. So start moving northward by listening to and obeying the Holy Spirit, the inner speaking of God, all right? He speaks to us by His Spirit, through the Bible, through friends, through circumstances. Watch and see how God is directing you. And listen to Him and follow Him with faith. In John 16:13, it says, "However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth." Isn't that neat? When we listen to the Spirit's not lying to us. The Holy Spirit is leading us into truth. That which is right, true, good, glorifying to God. Okay? "However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority." That's an interesting dynamic about the Trinity. The Holy Spirit listens to God the Father to tell Him what the Holy Spirit's to say to us. What did Jesus, when He walked on the face of the earth, "I don't do anything the Father hasn't told me to do. My meat and drink is to do the will of the Father." And so the Holy Spirit speaks to us as your Heavenly Father, my Heavenly Father, directs the Holy Spirit. You speak to Terry Glover. You speak to Fill Your Name Man specifically about this. Now, if we're willing to listen to the Holy Spirit and yield ourselves over and die to ourselves, He's only leading us to truth, which is good and brings glory to God. And we gain in the purpose and the fullness of life in Him. So reading that again, "However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come." That problem, and you're listening to the Spirit, I'll take care of it. Don't you worry. I will take care of it. God, the Holy Spirit, when He speaks to us, and I know He has in my life, I've talked to Him about things that were just huge. So I can't get over it, around it, or through it. I help. And it caused a terrifying sense in my own spirit. And I called out to God, and I talked to Him, and I listened. And God says, "Don't worry. I'll take care of it." And I've heard that in my heart. And that's what you and I are to do. Pursue what God, the Holy Spirit, is telling us. But the thing that's amazing about it is that God the Father in heaven is specifically telling His Spirit to speak to our heart about our specific needs. Customized communication, a relationship with God through the Spirit of God. "But whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. I will take care of it." Praise God for that. So obey the Spirit of truth and turn northward. Don't keep going around in circles if you're there. I'm not saying you are. I'm saying if we find ourselves falling into a situation where we seem to be gravitating toward the problem and just going around and around and around, spinning our wheels, you don't have to stay there. Just look up to your Father in heaven and say, "God, I need You to help me. Give me some direction here." And then be willing to listen and let God talk to you as He directs the Spirit of God to do. And He'll talk to us, and He'll give us the directives that He needs. He might say, "Go north," right? Just like He told the Israelites, "Stop going around in the wilderness, not accomplishing anything. Go that way." Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're so thankful that You love us unconditionally. And the demonstration of that is that You gave Your Son to die on the cross for our sins. Before we even knew You, before we ever loved You, while we were still offensive to You in our own sin, You loved us so much that You gave Your own Son to die on the cross for our sins specifically. Lord Jesus, You took the punishment for the sin that I deserve and that each one of us deserves. You took the full punishment for our sins, past, present, and future, on the cross for us. And praise You, Father, because for all of us and all of those yet still to come that put their faith in You as their Savior, asking You to forgive them of their sins, You will come into their heart, You will forgive them of their sins, past, present, and future, and we will have a relationship with You that is eternal, that will never separate. for we are never separated from your love. Praise you for that. I pray, Father, that if there are those that hear this message and they are wondering about how to have that type of assurance, let them know that clear gospel message that you sent your Son to die on the cross for our sins. You were buried, and on the third day you rose from the grave, and you're alive today. Let them look to you and say, Lord, thank you for dying for my sins, taking the punishment for my sins. Come live in my heart. Forgive me for my sins in Jesus' name. And if they do that, you will not reject them, but you will fully forgive and fully enter into their heart and their life, and you'll never leave them or forsake them. And so we praise you for that. Now help us, Father, to walk with you, to look up and to rely on you and to see you and your love and your power working in and through our lives to your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.